radio.org.au.
Braving the Digital Continent, Its Dangers and Opportunities. A talk by Father David Callahan from the Missionaries of God's Love. This talk was recorded at the Catholic Digital Media Conference 2014 in Sydney.
Good morning. Just before I begin, just to be very clear, I have absolutely no qualification in media at all. My background is that I've come from a family of media junkies. My dad's the sort of guy who, on an average day, would read three newspapers and then watch four or five news broadcasts. So my childhood, when my friends were watching cartoons, I was learning all about media bias and things like that. So my sister went into journalism, I went into the priesthood, and this has very much influenced the way that I understand the gospel. So what I want to talk about as quickly as I can is really this understanding of the big picture. We've just gone from a very practical talk. This is going to be a bit more abstract. But in terms of the new evangelization, how do we try and grasp the big picture of how all this interacts? And that really is my passion in terms of the interaction between technology, media, culture, and faith, and particularly how that's played out in our history and what may be coming in our generation. In terms of what the popes have been saying, personally, I believe the popes have been well ahead of us, and we need to kind of catch up with them. Just this quote from the 45th World Communication Day. From my memory, this was the message which was in every paper in the world because it was quoted as the Pope says Facebook is good. Unfortunately, it missed all the other good stuff that was in it. Right at the beginning, Pope Benedict basically said, you know, just as the Industrial Revolution in its day brought about a profound transformation in the societies, so today the radical changes taking place in communications are making a huge cultural change for us. Now, from my reading of the papal documents, and particularly in regards to evangelization, culture is the central key. But when I hear people talk about evangelization, no one's talking about culture. And so this is where I think we need to really start waking up to what's going on. Once again, this is just from Evangelii Nuntiandi, probably the most important document in regards to evangelization. This was published back in the 70s. It took the church about 20 years to start to feel comfortable using the word evangelization. And even now, we're really only talking about evangelization of individuals. But at the heart of this document, the Pope was saying, it's about culture. If we're not making a real change to the culture, nothing's going to happen. Because ultimately, culture is the greatest formative influence there is. Now, for those who were at the movie last night, there was that powerful quote they were talking about from Pope Francis, which got a lot of reactions, where he said that the church has often been obsessed about big issues like contraception, abortion, homosexual marriage. We need to bring it back to a simpler conversation. And this caused a huge reaction from the church. My reading of that is that the Pope's actually trying to say this. It's about culture. We've been trying to engage in an argument on the level of knowledge as though if we just speak the truth louder, people are going to see the error of their ways and change. And we've been blind to the fact that it's actually culture that's driving the whole show. And people aren't listening to the content. As a priest, I know this very well. When I stand up and preach, I know no one's going to remember a thing. And I teach my guys that. I'm working in formation with our novices in Canberra. We need to be presenting something different, which is unseen, and somehow influencing the story that is in the background. Now I've got very few slides. This is my only last one. This was an image that was in the Australian newspaper last year, and I found myself all day just going back to the paper, just looking at this image again and again, because it just blew my mind. Basically what this was the Queensland University of Technology has started to do a huge pile of research into social media. And they've created a way of mapping interactions on Twitter. Now, this was, I think, from 2010 or something. the middle, you can basically see that there is this enormous interaction of subjects and topics. So this crossover of ideas between politics and culture and the arts and sport. But if you look down the bottom, you've got Hillsong's church and you've got the evangelicals, not connected. Now, I don't know much about Hillsong's, but my guess is that they would blow us out of the water in terms of their use of technology. The Catholic Church doesn't even figure on that at all. We haven't got a dot. But the thing that fascinates me is that this is a reflection of the church in reality. It's still disconnected. You know, we are still not having any kind of influence in the broad discussion of what's driving our world. And I think we just need to have that in the back of our mind as we're thinking about how we engage with all this communication. Where should we actually be? You know, I think it's important that we do create a bubble like that. You know, we do create a real presence online. But I think, once again, if you go back to what the popes and what our great speakers are talking about, is how do we actually get into the mix of the main message? And that may not necessarily be talking overtly about Christ. But come back to that quote we heard before by Robert Barron, how do we bring in beauty? You know, I know a lot of people who have got off Twitter recently because they just say it's an angry place and it makes them angry. How do we make it beautiful? How do you jump into a political discussion and bring in a basic understanding of humanity? I think this is where it begins. In terms of my understanding of media, is that media is at the heart of Christianity because the Word became flesh. Take Marshall McLuhan's famous line that the medium is the message. God's medium of communication was humanity. Now, because of my media junkie family upbringing, this is the way I read the Gospels. And so the whole understanding is that God is trying to communicate himself and choosing the human person as the means to do that. Now, this should be an amazing opportunity for us, but also a real warning sign, because the direction that technology is going is so often trying to avoid the ugly parts of humanity. Let's avoid being bored. Let's avoid being lonely. Let's avoid suffering. All of these things, these ugly parts of humanity, are actually essential for an encounter with God. If you just look at the temptation of Jesus in the desert, I'll try not to get too caught up in the whole theology of this, but the whole temptation was be divine, be strong, be supreme. And Christ chooses to be hungry, vulnerable, weak. His communication to us is basically saying, this is where you're going to discover God. It's in your humanity. So for us as a church, I think we need to really come back to the core of what is the message and what is our media. It's the ugliness of your life. That's where you're going to encounter God. And this is the massive challenge. How do we proclaim that when the culture is telling us a story so different? And particularly if you start looking at where this is going to go in the next 20 years, there is a massive challenge to how do we start to bring ourselves back to the essence of what it is to be human, and then particularly things like contemplation, which requires silence, requires self-knowledge. It requires a real understanding of who I am and where is God meeting me in my pain. Now, you got to tell me when I need to stop because I'll keep going otherwise. In terms of understanding a bit of the interaction between technology and the church, I think it's good that we look back at our history, because with every technological revolution, there's a cultural revolution. And there's a change in our thinking. From my reading of the church's history, the first media revolution was back in about the 300s when we decided to take on a language, which was the language of Greek philosophy, to communicate ourselves. Now, this was a massive advancement for the church because we could actually communicate ourselves universally. The danger that came with that is that it changed our worldview. And so we suddenly shifted from a very Jewish mindset to now a Greek mindset. And ever since, we've been trying to get back there. You know, you go look at scripture scholars and theologians now, all the books in the Catholic bookshop will be about how do we understand the Jewish Jesus, you know? So there's a trade-off. There's always a trade-off. You jump to the 1500s. Probably the most significant media revolution ever was the invention of the printing press. That allowed us to communicate ourselves on a whole different level. You know, particularly you take someone like St. Francis de Sales, who was one of the great pioneers of using the printed word for evangelization. He's actually one of our patrons in the MGL, so I look to him a fair bit in the work that we're trying to do. But at the same time, there was a shift in our understanding of knowledge, that the printed word now became absolute. It became kind of the source of truth. And the spoken word kind of became diminished somewhat. There are some people who would suggest that this shift in the understanding of knowledge could very well have been influential in the Protestant Reformation, where the word of Scripture now trumps the word of tradition. You know, it shifts us. It always changes our way of thinking. You know, you now come to our modern world where it's so focused on entertainment, and it's become so narcissistic. You know, there are now so many books coming out about how the internet, social media, is turning us inwards on a scale we've never seen before, and all the various psychological disorders that can come from that, particularly internet addiction, which is now rampant. That this changes us. And we need to understand that this stuff is not neutral. Every time I talk to people, particularly young people, about media, the question is always, is it good or bad? And I'm very clear saying it's the wrong question. That we shouldn't be trying to work out, is it sinful, is it not? I think the very fact that the media proclaim that the Pope says Facebook is good is because that's the question deep inside of us. But I think the real question has to be on the level of humanity. How is this changing us? And how does this move us from the standard? So if the word became flesh, if Christ has said that humanity is the standard, the place where we're going to encounter God, where is this moving us? And then judge it according to that. So I really believe we need to have a whole new way of judging media and technology. Traditionally, we've used the standard thing of you'll know it by its fruits. So, you know, take with the printing press, we've had 500 years to get used to how this has changed us. We can sit back and look at the fruits. Is this good or bad for humanity? That doesn't apply anymore. It doesn't work with a technology that is growing exponentially. That we are seeing now such a rapid change, and it's being driven by forces that are beyond us. You know, it's very much being driven by the stock market in terms of new startup companies. And you know, there was a report recently that Facebook will be dead in 3 years. They've just spent, I think, $19 billion on a new text messaging application because they're saying that's where it's going. It's changing. We can't think of this in the same way that we thought as we thought of the printed word. And so we need to judge it very differently as well. How is this changing people? And then how does that have to change the way we interact with it? Just briefly, I think it is important for us to try and look ahead at where this is going. As a church, we're struggling to catch up with the current reality. But as I said, we're dealing with an exponential growth here in technology. We need to really quickly get on top of this and basically create a theology of media and a theology of technology. We need to create a language where we can actually start to work out how to judge this stuff and how to interact with it, we are still 50 years behind, as we always are as a church. If you want to try and get an idea of where this is possibly going, have a look on YouTube for a guy, Ray Kurzweil. This guy is regarded as being the prophet of Silicon Valley, is the name they give him. He's just recently been hired as a major consultant for Google. He's the guy they call in to tell them where they should be going, all these major companies that are driving digital media. He talks very clearly about this exponential growth, saying that in 40 years, we've gone from a computer the size of a building to something that fits in your pocket. In 20 years, you're going to go from something in your pocket to something the size of a blood cell with the same computing power. He comes out with some kind of concerning stuff because he's actually pushing very strong for immortality through computing. Now, as Catholics, we're going to say that's not going to happen, our understanding of the soul. Doesn't matter whether it succeeds or not, because if we're looking at this from the perspective of culture, it's about the story. That this technology, movement of technology is promoting a story which is very different to our story. It's pushing for this idea of this hope through technology. You'll live forever. You'll never have to suffer. You'll never have to live with that annoying person next to you on the train. You know, it's so different to the gospel of communion. This is where we need to be waking up and really engaging with what's actually going on. That it's not necessarily about content. It's about the story behind the content that is changing the way we think and changing our whole values. Just really quickly, I've been reading a lot recently by Neil Postman. Don't know whether you've ever heard of his stuff. His famous book, Amusing Ourselves to Death. Postman talks a lot about this just in terms of the movement of culture, which once again I think is a key thing we need to engage with. He basically names three stages in the development of technology, where he says the first stage is we're in a tool-based society where tools are at the service of your values. So take, for example, the Jewish culture. On the Sabbath, you put down your tools. You then move to the next stage, which is that of a technocracy, which is where there's now a competition between the technology and the values. And he would name the Industrial Revolution as being probably that key moment, where the technology starts to shape the society and change the way cities work and villages and human interaction. And there's this battle going on as to which one's going to win. The third stage he names is that of a technopoly, which is where the technology is taken over. It now drives the values. It now rules the world. And religion and values are pushed into the private sphere. That's us. Once again, coming back to this idea of how do we develop a theology of media or a theology of technology in relation to the new evangelization, we need to realize that we're in a whole different world. This is not the 1500s anymore. We need to be extremely intentional in the way that we engage with this stuff, not simply following the current, not simply flowing along and saying, hey, everyone else is on Twitter, let's go on Twitter. I think as some of the other speakers have said so far, we need to be very intentional about why we're doing this and what we're actually trying to communicate. Personally, for us in the MGLs, what I've been trying to present to our brothers is very much the idea that we use this as a way of drawing people into the ideal, which is face-to-face encounter. That our interaction out there is to try and feed people in this digital world, but we never sacrifice the fact that it has to be face-to-face. And that's where people are going to encounter their humanity and then encounter Christ. For myself as a missionary, a lot of our work is particularly in cross-cultural mission. And so I think I look at this particularly through the principles of cross-cultural mission. And I would almost suggest this is a way of navigating our way into the digital continent. That you have very much a different culture in that there is a story implicit in this digital media, this new technology, which is vastly different to our home. which is the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to try and work out, how do we enter in? How do we find ways to enculturate the word while never sacrificing what's essential and never losing our own language? You know, I train in the Novitiate in Canberra. I've got guys from 9 different cultures. And the whole thing is, you've got to learn English, but don't lose your language. Don't lose your story. And we send them back to their cultural celebrations and say, don't lose it. I would propose that we actually need to use this as a moment to rediscover our culture. We need to use this whole new digital world as a moment to look inwards and actually see who we are. In the same way that when you visit a different country, you understand your own culture better. You can't see it when you're at home. As we venture into this, we need to use this as a way of looking inwards and saying, well, who are we as a church? What was Jesus trying to communicate by becoming human? What is actually at the heart of the gospel? Is it just a simple, very simplistic message of Jesus Christ? Or is it actually quite a profound mystery of what it is to be human in all of its ugliness? So I'm very convinced that we need to be in there. But we need to start thinking very clearly and very much come back to what Paul the Sixth was saying. We need to bring about a real cultural change. That means that we don't just sit in this little digital Christian ghetto, which is a reflection of our real Christian ghetto. How do we actually get into the mix of it? Start bringing beauty, bringing truth, bringing goodness into the online discussions. How do we start trying to shape the story towards something which is more along the lines of the gospel? But we can only do that through a real reconversion of ourselves and a rediscovery of what is the message of Jesus Christ. I think that's all we've got to say. So if there's any questions.
That was Father David Callahan, MGL, with Braving the Digital Continent, Its Dangers and Opportunities. For more information about CDMC, visit cdmcaustralia.com. And for more talks, interviews, and shows, visit cradio.org.au.